Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
So much, Pastor Julius, for that amazing welcome. And church family, what an honor it is for me to stand before you to preach the Word of God. I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to you from wherever you are at, and that you will experience transformation of heart and mind to the glory of His name. Shall we pray together? Father, as I speak your Word, may your Word come out with power and truth. Truth that changes a man's heart to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. So over the past couple of weeks, we have embarked on a series, God with us. What an amazing theme. God coming on earth and dwelling among us. What a privilege that we, feeble human beings, can share a place with an almighty God. So we started off by saying that Jesus came on earth and he is God. Jesus is God. And this requires that you and I must worship Jesus. We are to give him all our worship. This is what the Father is looking for. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. When this happens, guess what? Your life never remains the same. But last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus, though he is God, he came to earth as a man, meaning that God was revealed in man. Jesus came as a man to show us who God the Father is. Also, he is our high priest. He intercedes on our behalf to God the Father. What a privilege. Today, we would like to engage yet another gear to look at this same fact that God is with us on a mission. God is a God of missions. From times past, from ages past, God has embarked on a mission to reconcile himself with human beings. What an honor that God shows us his great love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So today we're looking at the fact that God is with us on his mission. Now, over the centuries, man has embarked on an incredible adventure, incredible discoveries. In 1833, the Slavery Abolition Act was passed in the British Parliament. Now, this meant that in most parts of the British Empire, slavery was abolished. This took William Wilberforce and his friends, his team, almost 46 years of serious work. Not only that, on the 20th of July, 1969, the Apollo 2 astronauts led by Neil Armstrong planted the American flag on the moon. And this is what Neil Armstrong said. He said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." What an achievement it was. And all across the world, all across the globe, great minds, scientists, historians are making every effort to alleviate human challenges, to come with solutions to tackle human challenges. None of these, however great they are, these are some of the most important and significant missions in human history. They have left an indelible mark on us as people discover different things. However, none of them come close to the mission of Jesus, who is God that came to be with us at Christmas time. So we understand the mission of Jesus through the words that the angel Gabriel said to Joseph. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. While he was still thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." Friends, this was a game changer. This was a game-changing moment. It's like when, for those of us who like to watch football, some of us call it soccer, when the coach brings a substitute for the game to be won, this moment signified a moment where the game would be won by humanity. Jesus coming on the scene and setting the record straight and making sure that every one of us has access to the forgiveness that is offered by God himself. So why was this mission so critical that Jesus, who is God, had to come to earth? Why did he come? Jesus came to take care of the sin problem once and once for all. Now let's highlight a few things that sin does, the impact of sin on our lives as people of God. Whether you know God or not, whether you have received him in your life or not, this is what sin does to us. Sin separates us from God. And it is a tragedy. We read in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned against God and were banished from the Garden of Eden, meaning that they were banished from the very presence of God. This signified how, because of sin, Adam and Eve could no longer enjoy the beautiful relationship that they had previously had with God. Since that time of the fall, all of humanity, all of mankind was born into sin, and we are separated from God because of that. Isaiah describes it this way: "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own." Paul the Apostle highlights the same, and he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions." Now, Paul explains this hopeless separation from God like this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Those who are disobedient to what? Those who are disobedient to God. You have to note this. Sin makes us incapable of relating with God. It is not possible for you to live in sin and relate with God. Because we have turned our backs against him, sin makes it impossible for us to relate with God. But also secondly, sin enslaves us. Satan, the evil one, the rebellious, demonic, controlling power that makes us slaves to sin, makes it impossible for us to relate with God. A slave to sin does not have the power to say no to sin. A slave to sin does not have power to resist sin. Sin becomes their master, controlling their thinking, controlling how they do things, how they say things. This is what sin does when someone is under the bondage of sin. So sin is all they want. They literally are in bondage and cannot find freedom. But thanks be to God that we can find freedom in Jesus. Listen to what the scripture tells us. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 says, "An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him." Proverbs 21 continues to say from verse 10, "The wicked crave evil. Their neighbors get no mercy from them." What does this mean? When you are under the bondage of sin, you are unable to break free from that bondage until Jesus comes to your rescue. And we are so privileged that this Christmas, Jesus, his mission is to help you break free from the power of sin. But also, sin leads to death. Some instances, sin In some instances, sin leads to death, leads to physical death due to the foolish choices that we make sometime in life. However, more painful is the truth that sin leads to what the Bible calls the second death. It is the second death that separates us from God. This second death refers to the eternal separation from God. The eternal separation is actually preserved for those that have rejected Jesus and have lived a life of sin. And Revelation tells us, Revelation 21, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Friends, this is what sin does. Sin separates us from God. Sin enslaves us. Sin leads to death. But God, in his divine wisdom, instituted the system in the Old Testament where man could try to work out his way to receive forgiveness, to alleviate some of the burdens that come along with being sinful. Now, God instituted a system where people would be able to atone for their sin by the shedding of an animal's blood. And this was so tedious. First of all, the high priest had to atone for his own sin, but also he had to sacrifice another animal for the sake of the people, as very well indicated in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 4 tells us all this. This would happen year after year. Year after year, people looked forward to a time when they would try to sort of alleviate the problem of sin. And this system was imperfect. It carried on year after year. Yes, there was the offering of ceremonial cleansing, but sin was not fully paid for. It was an annual reminder of man's sin before the Lord. This is how Hebrews tells us. Hebrews chapter 9 says, this is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. And this better system was the final sacrifice that Jesus brought when he died on that old rugged cross to save you and me. Give praise to Jesus. So the old system pointed to man's need for a savior, pointed to man's need for a Messiah who would save man from sin, because we were completely and totally powerless and could not save ourselves. Friends, that is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. Finally, this is the good news. God had come to earth on a mission to save man from sin. The problem of sin was dealt with once and once for all. That is why the words of the angel of the Lord to the shepherds were such good news. Luke chapter 2, the angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Friends, sin would be dealt with once and once for all. Jesus, the Savior, would offer mercy and forgiveness for sin. There was now a way out. There was now a way out that only comes through knowing Jesus. Sinful man like you and me, who were once enemies of God, would now find peace with God. What a privilege. This is the goodwill that God shows towards man. So what does this mean to us today? So two things that I want to leave with us. Believe in Jesus as the only Savior. Put your faith in Jesus. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father. None of us can access heaven only through Jesus. Hallelujah. So, He is the only one who can set you free from that bondage. He is the only one who can set you free from that captivity that you find yourself in. He will make you a brand new child of God. Surrender to Him and make Him the master of your life. I remember many, many years ago, we used to sing, I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. All things have passed away. I am born again. Friends, this was clearly what God had done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. When you give your life to Christ, you become a new child of God. You become a brand new child of God. If you haven't believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my friend, do so today. Some of you are already in this journey of faith, and probably the pressures of life have made it impossible for you to walk straight, to stand up, to stand firm for your faith. I want to ask you, do a fresh recommitment of your life to Jesus. As you turn your back on sin completely, you can do so today. But also, friends, it is not just about believing in Jesus as the only Savior. Jesus' mission, why He came on earth, has now become your mission. His mission has become our mission. Jesus came on a mission to save man from sin, and He accomplished this through His death and resurrection. Jesus now calls on you and me to join hands with Him in spreading the good news of the gospel. What a privilege. When Jesus talked to His disciples when He was just about to ascend to heaven, He was about to ascend into heaven in Matthew 28, this is what He told His disciples. The Bible says that then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. What a promise. So how do we do this? We do this by sharing our faith with those around us. On Christmas Day, you are going to have an opportunity to sit round the meal table with friends and families. Take a moment and tell them about this good news of the gospel. Right now, in your service, you can actually pause for a little bit and text that one person that you have been praying for salvation. You can do that right now. It is an opportunity for us to join hands with Jesus in His mission. How do you do this? You can also invite them to church. But also, you and I are to reflect the character of Jesus through our life. Friends, you and I are moving signposts, directing people to who Jesus is. But also, help other believers to grow in their faith. If you are not part of a cell, join a cell. Find a place where you can grow in your faith. You cannot do this life alone. Life is only made better when you do it with others. And you can only do this through people of faith who love God with a passion and are able to help you in your walk of faith. So, here's the good news for us. As we go about the mission of spreading the good news about Jesus, we are not alone. Jesus promises to be with us. The presence and the power of Jesus are always with you as you go about the mission of knowing Jesus and making Him known. Satan, who is the enemy of Jesus, he is the enemy of the message of the gospel. will try to discourage you. People will ridicule you. People will even threaten your very life. I want to encourage you. Holy Spirit is with you. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is with you. He will teach you. He will encourage you. He will guide you. And he will empower you in knowing what to say and how to say it. What a privilege that we are not alone. So stay on mission, because Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. As we land this plane, as we bring this to a conclusion, Jesus, who is God, came on a mission to save man from sin. Why? Because sin separates us from God. Sin enslaves us. Sin leads to death. My brother, my sister, wherever you are at, Jesus is the only one who can save us from sin. That is why we celebrate Christmas. You could be here, right there where you are at, and you do not know Jesus. I want to ask you, shall we pray together? Just say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I thank you that you came to earth to save me, that you have a plan for me. From today on, I choose to follow you. Now write my name in your book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have said such a prayer, if you have made such a prayer, we are so excited that you have joined the family of God today. I want to encourage you, contact us on the number that has appeared at the bottom of the screen. Someone will get in touch with you. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.